I'd like to say thank you to organizers for the invitation, because it's my first talk in Fields Institute. And I'd like to talk about existence and stability of two-pulse solitons in the fifth-order KdV equation. So first, what do I mean by two-pulse? I don't mean sum of two one-pulse solutions. I mean that my solution has shape with two pulse, and then it's exponentially decaying with both ends. Okay. So consider the following KdV equation, like ut plus uxx minus u5x plus 2uux equals 0. So it's a simplified version of capillary gravity waterways equation, which was derived by Craig and Groves in 1994. So one parameter is taken as 0 and one parameter is taken as 1. And the next application of fifth order KdV was in description of chains of coupled oscillators, and it was done by Gorshkov-Ostrovsky in 1979. And probably the most oldest oldest application is magnetoacoustic waves in plasma, so it's Kawahara equation, and dated like 1972. And of course, it's well known that fifth order KdV possesses traveling wave solutions. And it's using traveling wave solution, we can reduce our PDE to ODE, and we have fourth order ODE equation. Okay, so in our fourth order ODE, we have only one parameter, and this is velocity, this is parameter C. I'd like to consider three cases. Three cases for parameter C. So first case is C less than 0, and it was proved by Tolvis that no pulse solution exists for this particular case. So when C less than 0, we do not have pulse solutions. So the interval when C is in between 0 and 1 over 4, and of course all these intervals related to a particular eigenvalues of this simple fourth order equation. So for the interval from 0 up to 1 over 4 exists a unique one pulse solution, and it was proved by Amick Toland in 1992 and by Groves in 1998. And our case, what I'd like to study analytically and numerically, it's case when C greater than 1 over 4. For this particular case, we have a quartic of complex valued roots of our characteristic equations. So we have exponentially decaying with oscillating tails solutions. And it was proved that for this particular case exists unique one pulse solution, and also, and we are very interested in this set, exists infinitely many two-pulse solutions, infinitely many, but countable number of two-pulse solutions. For me, what is interesting historically, that first it was proved existence of one-pulse solution for the interval from 0 up to 1 over 4, and only 8 years later, in year 200, it was proved that for C less than 0, no solid, no pulse solution exists. And sketch of proof, if proof for the parameter C between 0 and 1 over 4, it's classical variational method. So it was proved that energy functional has a satisfied condition of mountain pass structure. And then it was found some subsequences with some nice properties of non-vanishing and non-splitting. Then for the first case, when C less than 0, a sketch of proof that no pulse solution exists. So it was proved that at second order ODE, it does exist homoclinic orbit in some explicit form. And then it was made a small perturbation with epsilon like F four primes. And it was proved like breaking or breaking property for this particular homoclinic orbit. So if I add like epsilon multiplied by fourth derivative of phi, I break the homoclinic orbit. So, mathematical problems. Numerically, The first approximation of two-pulse solution was done using numerical multi-parameter shooting method by Chapnames by Alan Chapnames in 1993. And the simple numerical method to find one-pulse solution, it's Ketvashvili method of successive iterations in Fourier space. The only problem about this robust and very nice method to track one-pulse solution, that for two-pulse solution, this particular method converges. And spectral stability of two-pulse solutions first was investigated using Lyapunov-Schmidt reductions by Sanstezi in 1998. And then it was investigated also like in parallel way using count of eigenvalues in Pontryagin space. And it's based on keeping track of Krein signatures. And again, bad luck, it can be proof that one half of two-pulse solutions is unstable. And it can be proved based on count of eigenvalues. But count of eigenvalues for probably a structurally stable case is inconclusive for two-pulse solution. And I will show why. So first, like sketch, simple description of Petriashvili method. So we have ODE. We can apply Fourier transform to this particular ODE. And if we apply our iterations here in the middle, like phi hat n from the left and phi squared n minus 1 from the right, it's very nice iterations, but it will diverge. It's like y to phi squared. But if the idea of Petriashvili was very simple and really nice, he introduced a coefficient m capital N squared. And this coefficient, which depends on particular iteration of UM, give a balance. So it's proved that for one-pulse solution using this particular iterational method, you have very fast convergence to one-pulse solution of first-order ODE. But there are some restrictions. So, and restrictions, you can see a theorem. Then you can apply numerically Petriashvili method if you want to find solution of particular, of, in this case, fourth order ODE. And the first restriction, if H has exactly one negative eigenvalue and a simple zero eigenvalue. And two restrictions for function phi, it should be positive or infinitum of phi absolute value should be less than C over 2. And of course, these restrictions need to prove fixed point theorem for iterations. And then exists an open neighborhood of phi hat and H2 such that F hat is a unique fixed point, and sequence of Petriashvili iterations converges to phi hat. And the main problem for two-pulse solution is the first restriction. As you can see, H is supposed to have only one negative eigenvalue. So first, I'd like to show very quickly two pictures. So this is a numerical application of this particular very simple Petriashvili method to catch one-pulse solution. Parameter C is taken like 4, so you can see a little bit oscillations for the one-pulse solution. And from the left, you can see decaying of error because it was tested for a particular case when So you can compare distance between iterations, and you can compare convergence of Petriashvili factor M, how fast it goes to 1. And about 25 iterations, and I am beyond the accuracy of, say, computer because it's 10 to the power minus 15. So this one-pulse solution, Petriashvili method, is really nice. It's really robust numerical method. For two-pulse solution, I'd like to consider two cases. So using asymptotic method or using method of center manifold reduction, we can show that two-pulse solution can be found in form like sum of two one-pulse solutions shifted by the same distance, plus some small perturbation hz. And Sm, this particular distance where my two-pulse solution exists, they can be found like extremum point of some functional. And the meaning of this functional is this kind of interaction potential between two pulses. And the case when second derivative is less than zero, then operator H has two negative eigenvalues. For convergence of Petriashvili method, I need one. Case when second derivative is greater than zero, even worse, the operator H capital has three negative eigenvalues. And again, for convergence of Petriashvili method, I need one. I cannot imply it for the first case. I cannot imply it for the second case, at least without modification. Oh. What was interesting? The interesting was that we constructed our numerical approximation of two-pulse solution using Petriashvili method. But how? So first, I'd like to take a look at some particular picture. So main idea that imagine that S star, so picture from the right, this is exact distance between two humps for the first bound state. I don't know a priori, but imagine that I know this particular distance. This is my solution. If I apply Petriashvili method and I have distance a little bit smaller than S star, then first I have convergence of Petriashvili method, and then I have divergence. And I have convergence up to some particular point. And then I have divergence, and then, as you can see, instead of two-pulse solution, I will have one pulse, and for one pulse, I again have convergence. What I want to track? First I have two-pulse. So I substitute as my initial approximation some two-pulse solution with distance that is pretty close to the real one. I don't know in advance. I have some asymptotic approximation from Gorshkov-Ostrovsky theory, but it's not a real solution. And first, up to the accuracy 10 to the power minus 7, I have convergence. Then I have slow divergence, and what I can see, instead of two-pulse solution, they're getting closer, they overlap each other, and up to this point, I have one-pulse solution. And as you know, for Petriashvili method, I have very nice convergence for one-pulse solution. Okay, I am not interested in the second part. I want to stop here. This is the best I can get. Up to here, this is 50. Up to this point, this is about 50, less than 100 iterations. S is fixed. For this picture, S is fixed. I change only number of iterations. S is S star minus, okay. For the first picture, S is taking like S star. Imagine that I know exact number a priori from somehow. Minus 0.1. Something like this. Any S from this interval will give me this picture. Any S with accuracy 0.1 will give me picture with convergence up to the 10, about 10 to the power minus 7, and then I have divergence. The main idea is the closer I go to the S star, the better accuracy I have for this point, and I can keep a track. So I have first approximation, I should stop my algorithm here, but it's pretty simple. If I know structure of, say, divergence, it's pretty simple numerically to catch this point. And the closer I am getting to my S star, you can see a picture from the right, the better accuracy I have here. The only my limits, accuracy of my particular computer, again, I have accuracy 10 to the power minus 15. I cannot do it better. And now you can see for C equals 1 and for C equals 4, I have four first bound states. four first solutions for C equals 1 and four first solutions for C equals 4. This is a modification. Of course, it's long-running program because it's a little bit long-running for one Petriashvili method. And I am kind of applying the same method for each step of my iteration. So I'm kind of using Petriashvili method as many times as I need to get to this point S star. Now I want, it's well-known definition, just I want to separate two. I use the slide only because I want to show difference between understanding of, between definition of linear stability and definition of spectral stability. Because what do I mean when I'm talking about spectral stability? So an equilibrium solution U of X of a dynamical system U dot XU, we call spectrally stable if spectrum of linearized operators has no strictly positive real part. When I say that solution is spectrally stable. And spectral stability is necessary condition for nonlinear stability. It's weaker than linear stability. It might possess, linearized operator might possess multiple eigenvalues. So the only restriction, spectrum of linear operator has no strictly positive real part. And it's necessary condition for nonlinear stability. Okay. Now, it was mentioned already that we can apply Krein signature method to claim spectral instability for one half of double pulse solutions. And I need some notation. So unreal is number of real positive eigenvalues. And for linearized operator. And comp is number of complex eigenvalues in first quadrant, and imaginary is number of simple positive imaginary eigenvalues with non-positive Krein signature, and I need kernel of operator H to be simple. In this case, Pantryagin's theorem of existence of invariant subspace for self-adjoint operator, we have control over some particular part of invariant subspace with negative Krein signature. And based on this theorem, we can get some particular count for eigenvalues of linearized operator using our knowledge about the number of negative eigenvalues of energy operator H. So count is unreal plus 2 and comp plus 2 and imaginary. This is n minus 1. And next slide will show pretty simple application. So for one pulse solution, I have only one negative eigenvalue. Immediately from this particular relation, from this particular count, we can apply that one pulse solution is a ground state, and it was made by Lewandowski in 1999. Now, again, for two pulse solution, case when second derivative is less than zero, and it can be proved that solution is spectrally unstable, because n minus one gives me one, and I have two even numbers, and only one number can be odd. So only one number that can be odd is n real. So n real 1, immediately I can claim that solution is spectrally unstable. And case number 3, the number of negative eigenvalues of operator H is 3. Now I have choice. So using only Krein signature, using only count of eigenvalues, I can apply nothing. I can only guess. So for this particular case, and honestly for all cases, we would like to use a numerical analysis for this particular problem. So I want, for our case, when C is greater than 1 over 4, because I'm talking about linearization around double pulse solutions, and I want to study numerically spectrum of operator H and of operator L capital, and L capital, this is DZH. Where H, of course, self-adjoint, and DZH, this is non-self-adjoint operator. Because I'm using something based on Petriashvili method to get double pulse solution. I have my numerical approximation on Fourier grid. Because I have approximation of phi on Fourier grid, I do not have lots of choices for spectral method, so I will use Fourier spectral method to find spectrum of H capital in DZH. And we can predict easily problem with operator L capital. For operator L capital, spectrum will fill imaginary axis. And because I am talking about embedded eigenvalues, if I do nothing in this particular case, I will see a line. And because I want somehow to separate, to see embedded eigenvalues, I need a trick with shifting continuous spectrum. So I can see. As I promised, picture number one and picture number two. If we are doing nothing with operator L, our spectrum is pretty nice. This is a whole imaginary axis. For the first bound state, we have a very small negative eigenvalue. And you can see, I have a zoom, because it's very small, it's 0.05. And you cannot see, it's very close to zero. And now take a look at operator L, because we want to prove that this is the case when our double pulse solution is spectrally stable. And we even proved that it's not only spectrally stable, it's structurally stable, but we cannot prove asymptotic stability. Probably it's not the truth. But again, you can see the zoom for linearized operator, and you can see a couple of poor imaginary eigenvalues. And this is for the first bound state. Next, for the second bound state. So we're going further. Again, I have one small eigenvalue, but for this particular case, it's positive. It's positive, and zoom for small eigenvalues of operator L. I have a couple of real eigenvalues, and this is the case when we can claim that our solution is spectrally unstable. And case number three, bound state number three, and you can see that our just eigenvalues is getting smaller and smaller with each bound state. And for bound state number three, it's already 10 to the power minus 8. It's almost, this is the limit. So we say, with our computational teaching, I cannot get accuracy better than 10 to the power minus 8 for eigenvalues. Because if I go beyond 10 to the power minus 8, I will have splitting of my kernel. So if I show you a picture and you don't see a kernel, you will not believe that my eigenvalues are in place. So I can go as far as I can keep kernel at zero, and my accuracy of kernel is 10 to the power minus 8. Well, again, for so using central manifold reduction, we can show that behavior of two-pulse solution can be described using flow dynamic, and it's based on Newton's particle law. And L capital, this is the distance between humps. Distance between humps. And effective interaction potential of this W of L. And of course, we would like to see numerically, does really the two-pulse solutions of nonlinear equation, does we really obey the simple Newton's particle law, at least for some accuracy. So this is our numeric. What can you see here? So the picture in the middle, C is 4. F star, this is distance between two humps. This is 2.856. And it's taken from modified Petriashvili method. This is first, and it's supposed to be structurally stable and spectrally stable bound state, two-pulse bound state. And you can see propagation, and this is from zero, and I should double from the right, this is up to 1,000. And you can see that it behaves like two-pulse solitary waves, it just propagates. Now what am I doing? I am taking a sum of one pulse solution, So I'm taking one pulse solution from Petriashvili numerical method. When I'm taking sum of one pulse solution, but I make distance a little bit smaller, and you can see S is 2.6. This is like phi is one pulse solution, and I take a sum phi x plus s plus phi x minus s, and distance s a bit smaller than s star. And for this particular case, you can easily see oscillation. And now I'm trying to go right. I'm making distance between one pulse solution 3.4. And again, I have oscillations. But for this particular case, because I'm a little bit farther from the exact S star, from my balance point, I have period of oscillations longer. But it's pretty simple. If you're sitting closer to the bottom, you have like small oscillations. When you're going to farther from your point, you have bigger. Period of oscillation should depend on the distance of homoclinic orbit. Shouldn't it? No, because I'm not in the same energy. We do look a little different, so I cannot defend that it's not some kind of a bit of computational error. I was just happy to have, I'm happy because I can see oscillation. And this is exactly what I'd like to see to confirm that we do have some connection with Newton particle law for nonlinear waves. For nonlinear waves. But I think I should think about it, because probably you're right. Thank you very much.